while we were singing that, when we all get to heaven, this never struck me this way until tonight. But on the fourth verse, it says, onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. And we were singing that, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, after the first part of that line, soon his beauty will behold, are we really going to care too much about the pearly gates and the streets of gold? I mean, wouldn't you be happy just sitting on a stump in a swamp if Jesus was on the stump across from you? I mean, you know, the beauty of heaven is going to be a wonderful thing to behold, but in the presence of our Savior, who's going to care where we're at just as long as we're in his presence? I was sitting there, we were singing that, and I thought, man, after you sing, soon his beauty will behold, it's kind of hard to follow that up with anything else, isn't it? All right, Ecclesiastes, very quickly, we'll read chapter 7 and verse 1 again that we read this morning. If I can get things lined out here, finish up this verse. Ecclesiastes 7 and 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And this morning we looked at how important a good name is. Okay, that was the first part, how important it is to have a good name, why it's important to have a good name, especially for us. Now, it's important to have a good name in just among your neighbors. It's good to know that you have an honest person living next door. It's good to know that in your family, that there's people that have a good name that you can rely on, you can call on them. In business, it's good to have a good name. It's good to know that there's somebody you can do business with. I remember one time when we lived in Spencer, we went to buy a car, and there's this little car lot in Spencer that has been probably 7 different car lots. It's like that's the only thing that's ever there is a car lot. Different owners, you know, somebody will make it, they'll run it for a while, and then they'll go out of business, and somebody else will come in and make another car lot out of it. And I remember that we were looking at this car, and I had a couple of Christian friends who owned a body shop there in town. And I knew that, you know, they knew more people in town than I did, and they were kind of in the car business because they, you know, did body work and everything. And I knew that I could trust them, okay? They were saved brothers, and I knew that I could trust them. So I just went down there, and I asked them. I said, we were thinking about buying a car off this lot down here, and I said, what do you know about these guys? These two guys that ran this lot. I said, what do you know about these guys? You know, should I steer clear or what? And one of the guys told me, he said, so-and-so, I think maybe Chris or Larry, those were their names, I forget which one, but he said he will not put a car on his lot that isn't a good car. He said that's just how he does business. If he puts it on his lot, he's gone over it and he's checked it out, and he said, you can, you know, so here were guys that I trusted that said, yes, that guy, that's what he's known for. That guy, if he's selling a vehicle, he's standing behind that vehicle. That's a good name to have. That's a good name to have no matter what business you're in. It's good to have that. It helps in business. It helps in families. It helps everywhere. But the best name that you can have is to be saved and a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you are that, if you are saved and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, well, that ought to trickle down and make you to have a good name in business and a good name in the community and a good name here and a good name in school, because that would be the guiding principle in everything. So if we have that good name, a follower of Jesus Christ, that ought to affect every facet of our lives. And so that this morning, I know we looked at that, and we looked at some examples, and I gave you some scripture to look up, and we looked some up. But we ended there in the book of Acts. And I'd like for us to go back to the book of Acts, but this time go to Acts chapter 7. We kind of finished up this morning talking about Stephen. We were looking at some examples of men with good names in the Bible and what those names were. And Stephen was known as being a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful name to have. What a wonderful name to have. Let's face it. The world, this country, this state, this county, this city, however you want to narrow it down, has enough pastors and preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and church members who have rotten names, doesn't it? The world, I mean, we've got plenty of those people that have rotten names that have brought reproach upon their church or reproach upon the cause of Christ. There's plenty of those out there. And that's the ones that the world wants to talk about, isn't it? That's who they want to talk about. I mean, a guy can belong to four different churches in his lifetime, and one of those churches could have a no-account preacher or deacon or whatever that did something awful, and that's what he's going to talk about. If he gets out of church and uses that as an excuse to get out of church, that's what he's going to dwell on. He's going to dwell on that one guy. And the other three churches he was in may have had wonderful pastors, and he may have really learned there and grow. But if he's looking for an excuse, he's going to talk about that one. And the world is always looking for that one. That one, okay? In the book of Psalms, we looked this morning talking about how the world will falsely accuse God's people. So not only are they looking for that one that's messed up, if they can't find one, they'll just start lying on them. But the world is looking for somebody who has done wrong, who claims to be a Christian, okay? All the more reason for us to make sure we have a good name and a good report, because we know that those that have a good name and a good report are less likely to be those that are talked about in those circles, because they're looking for people to mess up. All the more reason for us not to give them a reason to talk, not to give them a reason to gossip. And so we looked here at Stephen, pardon me, this morning, and I want to continue with him just for a few minutes, because here's another man that had a good name. Okay, and the reason he had a good name is it wasn't his accomplishments. The good name that he had was that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. It was who he was in the Lord that gave him his good name. And I want to just spend a few more minutes looking at him in Acts chapter 7. We were in 6 this morning. We go to Acts chapter 7 and verses 54 through 56. Now, here's a man. You want to talk about preaching. He preached one sermon, and it so angered the sinners that they killed him. Man, you think you've heard some blazing sermons in your lifetime. This man got up and preached one time, and it so pricked these people's hearts. They responded incorrectly. They should have repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they didn't. But this man preached one time. And it was such a powerful sermon, they were left with two decisions. They chose between get saved or shut this man up by death. That's what they chose between. We can either listen and get saved, or we can just kill the guy right now. And they went with, let's kill the man. Now, you think about that, and that just adds to the name that Stephen had. What a faithful preacher that he preached that one time, and these people were so convinced and so pricked in their hearts. But in verses 54 through 56, I believe this tells us more about the name that he had than chapter 6, where it said he was full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Because it says here, when they heard these things, this is after he had preached, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And he's getting ready to die. He is getting ready to die, okay? They're stoning this man, and he's getting ready to die, and he looks up, and he sees the Savior standing at the right hand of God. And maybe you have heard this before, but if you have, it's always good to be reminded. And if you've never heard this before, this to me is really exciting here. I remember the first time that I heard this. What is so significant about what we just read? That he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Well, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us, who being, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Hey, I like that. When he had by himself. That means Jesus doesn't need any help from you in saving your soul. That's me. He does it all. He doesn't need you to complete it with good works. He doesn't need you to keep it with good works. His work of salvation is complete. He did it by himself. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins, now look, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now go to chapter 10 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And verses 11 and 12, this is talking about the priest of the Old Testament, how he would stand to do his work. It says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So these priests had to stand every day and keep doing this work that wouldn't take away sin, would just sort of temporarily cover them up a little bit. And then in verse 12, talking about Jesus, says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, meaning himself, forever. You see, the blood of Christ did it all one time. Look what it says. Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So the priest of the Old Testament had to stand constantly, and every day they'd have to go in there and stand and keep doing this. Christ offered himself one time, and that was it. It was done. It was finished. And he sat down. That work of redemption is done. He doesn't have to offer himself continually. He doesn't have to do it again. Now, what does all of this mean? This means that when Christ left this earth and ascended into heaven, his work of salvation and redemption was done. And so he sat down next to the Father. So we read more than once that he is seated at the right hand of God, until one of his saints comes home. Stephen is just about to leave this earth, and he looks up, and the Savior, I love this so much, the Savior stood up. And you know, I have heard men preach it different ways, and I think both apply. It could possibly be, this is the only time that we read about him standing up. It could be significant to Stephen. It could be. I'm not saying that it's not. But I've got a feeling that this is how the Savior welcomes his children home. One of his, maybe it's because of how outstanding Stephen was, but you know, the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. Stephen had the name that he had because he was a saved, faithful child of God. And when this saved child of God came home, how exciting, how exciting. The Savior is seated at the right hand of God, but when one of his children comes home, he stands up to meet them. Not in respect of you and I. The Savior, he doesn't respect us. We respect him. But the Savior stands up when one of his saints, to welcome one of his saints home. if you had a child that was in the military and was gone for a couple of years overseas fighting and you hadn't seen them at all in that time, they had never had a leave of absence, and all you had were some letters and maybe some phone calls and some emails, and they came home, and they're knocking on the front door, or they walk in the front door, how many of you would just continue to sit? Hey, son, it's good to see you. Have a seat. That's not what people do. You've seen people whenever their child comes home from the service or wherever they're coming home. Doesn't have to be the service. Just what do people do? Boy, they get up. They run out the door. They grab that person. When the young man returned to his father's house, the young man that we refer to as the prodigal son, he returned home to his house. Boy, the father was already standing, looking, watching, waiting for him, which leads me to believe that's how he spent his days, watching, looking, waiting. And when his son came, he saw him, and he wrapped his arms around him. Here is a man, Stephen, who was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ stands up when he comes home to welcome him home. And we could say that that was because of the name that Stephen had, but I have to believe that if you have the name of child of God, this is how the Savior welcomes you home. I don't think the Savior, he died for the sin of the world. I don't think the Savior sits while any of his children come home. What a name to have. Child of God. That's the name that we want. And then after we get that name, after we get saved and we have that name of child of God, now we want the name of what? Faithful follower of Jesus Christ. As we sang in that song tonight, his faithful follower I will be. That's the good name that we want. We're his child. Just like Stephen, he stood and he greeted him. If you're saved, you have that name, his child. Now what about the second part? What about faithful follower? Not just that I'm saved by him, but that I follow him. And I let him direct, and I let him guide, and I let him be in charge. That's the kind of name. That's the kind of name God's people ought to have. Disciple. You know, a lot of people are saved and then they never really become disciples. They never really learn and grow and change. And so, and Christ urged us to be his disciples. He wanted us to be his disciples. Those are the names, those are the good names that Christians ought to seek out. Well done, my what? Good and faithful servant. Boy, that's a good name that's better than precious ointment. Ye are my disciples. That's a good name, better than any precious ointment. I'll take that name, won't you? That's the name that I would like to have. How do we lay hold to this good name? John 13. John 13 and verse 35. Okay, we say we're saved. We have that name of child of God. Now I want to be that faithful follower. I want to be that disciple. Why would you want to be a faithful follower? Why would you want to be a disciple? You're saved. You're going to heaven. Isn't that enough? Well, because that right there is more than I deserve, I want to be a disciple and a faithful follower. Because going to heaven and not going to hell is far beyond anything I could ever merit. Because of love, grace, and mercy, that's why we ought to have a desire to be a disciple and to be a faithful follower of his. But in John chapter 13, if you look at verse 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So how do we lay hold on this good name? Well, to start off, we become his disciples. Read the Bible and find out how he wants us to live and obey it. And one of those things is we love each other. I don't know whose name comes to mind, to your mind when I say this. Probably a lot of people. In a church like this, probably quite a few people. But if I were to ask you, who, aside from Christ, who is the most loving person you've ever met in your life? We all know people who just, everything about them is just love and compassion and care. And we're probably blessed to have a whole list of those people. Now, could that be said of you? Is that said of you? Would somebody say of you, yes, he or she is a very loving person, very kind person? Are you one of Christ's disciples? Do we love one another? I know we get along in this place, but do we love one another? And does our love for one another go beyond just proclaiming that we love one another? Do we show that we love one another? Do we genuinely care about one another and take care of each other? Do we pray for one another? This is not a large church. It's not really too hard to pray for all the people in it, you know, a couple times a week, even once a day, really. We have a directory that is not that long. We all know about where everybody sits. We could pray and just run this church through our mind and pray specifically for each. But that's what people that love each other do. And we care. And so to lay hold on this good name of disciple, one of the things that we have to do is we need to love each other. Love each other and take care of each other and be good to one another. Go back to John chapter 10. This talks about being a disciple here in John chapter 10 and belonging to God. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And look, and they follow me. You want to be one of his sheep? I do. I'd rather not be the one that has to be goaded. I'd rather be the one that follows because I hear the voice of the master. I want to tell you a really neat story that I heard one time about a sheep farmer. This is a true story. It was a sheep farmer and a preacher, and the preacher's family were visiting this sheep farmer, and he showed them how he called the sheep in. He would go out and yell for them, whatever it was. He's, you know, I don't know what you say to a sheep. You know, come sheep, hear sheep, sheep. I don't know what you say to get sheep to come in. I know that hog farmers used to say suey to pigs. I don't know that that even really did anything. I don't know if sheep have a call. But whatever it is, he went out and called for these sheep. And boy, they just came. This preacher said they just came right in. Later on in the day, the kids wanted to try it. And each one of those kids stood out there and called the exact same thing that the farmer had called. Whatever words he used, come here, sheep. They did it just like he did it. They said the same words. Everybody tried it, and those sheep wouldn't budge. And when that farmer walked out and said the exact same words, here came those sheep. Isn't that precious? They knew that's our master. That's our farmer. That's the guy that feeds us. That's the guy that takes care of us. There's a lot of people out there saying a lot of things that they claim are of God. We got to be in his word to know if it's really his voice or not. My sheep hear my voice, he says, and they follow me. I want to be one of his sheep. That's a name that I want, one of his sheep. And I want to be known for following him. So we lay hold of this good name by following the Savior, by showing love one for another because we are his disciples. How about this? Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now look, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You know what the name Christian means? Follower of Christ, disciple of Christ. Somebody said one time that it meant, and I don't know if you could ever find this, but I heard somebody say it meant little Christ. And if that is one of the meanings, we know that it doesn't mean that we are gods. But I heard somebody say that one time. Not that it meant we are gods, but his followers, representatives of his, Christians. What's the first part of that word? Christ. Christian means a follower of Christ, someone who belongs to Christ. Why were they called Christians? Why did they have that name? Because they acted like their Savior. Because they followed their Savior, because they heard his voice and they obeyed it. I'm afraid that today that name is used so flippantly that if someone is saved, or maybe they're not saved, they just go to a church or grew up in a Christian home, that people too often want to say, well, yeah, they're Christians. You know people don't use that word correctly nowadays. I mean, come on, people all the time stand up and say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I belong to the Christian faith. And you're standing there scratching your head. You just, 5 minutes ago, you were using language that would make a factory worker blush. And now you're claiming to be, you're not a Christian. Maybe at one time you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and now you are away from him in fellowship, but a Christian, a follower of Christ, one of his disciples, one of his representatives, they called them Christians because it was evident who they followed. I think it's time that the church starts earning the name Christian. I think it's time we start acting like our Savior. Instead of just saying, I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven, I'm a Christian. They called them Christians because of how they lived. They knew these people follow that man, Jesus Christ. It wasn't a brand that you just automatically got. I'm afraid that too many people in today's church think that just because they're saved or because they belong to him through salvation, that's all there is to being a Christian. But belonging to him in salvation will get you eternal life with him in heaven. But as far as being one of his disciples and being one of his followers, that's something else. That requires knowing his word and being obedient to it. And I think we ought to take that name a little more serious. You've heard me say before, if you tell someone that you're a Christian and that's the only way that they know it, there's a problem. If you have to tell somebody, hey, I'm a Christian, and they're surprised. If you have to tell somebody that you're a Christian before they will know that you belong to Christ, something is wrong. It ought be, I'm a Christian, and then the response be, I knew there was something. I didn't know what you called it. Or, well, yeah, I figured that. So these are good names that we want. We want to be his disciple. We want to be his sheep. We want to be Christians, followers of Christ, representatives of Jesus Christ. And how do we lay hold on that good name? Well, he said, my sheep hear my voice. You won't hear his voice if you're not in his word. That's how God talks to man today. The days of audible voices coming from the clouds are over. Contrary to what some would try to have us to believe, the Bible makes it clear that's not how God speaks to man anymore. Now that his word has been completed and his word is put in our hands, this is how he speaks to us. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's how God speaks to man today, is through his word. And we speak to him in prayer. He's put a book in our hand and he speaks to us through that book, and we speak to him in prayer. That's how we hear his voice. How are you going to know his voice and follow him and be his disciple, be a Christian, be one of his sheep, if you're never listening to his voice? How can we discern between all of the different voices? You know, when it comes to false religions and things like that, you really don't have to go out and study. You don't have to study and know everything that the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, the Masons, the Catholics, you don't have to know what they all believe to know what's wrong with them. You just have to know what God's Word says. Then when one of them comes to you and tells you their false doctrine, you won't have to be a scholar in what they believe. You just need to know what this says, and you'll be able to say, no, that doesn't match this. You'll be able to say, no, that's not right, because this says, this is what you need to know. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours studying what all these different religions believe to be equipped. This is what we're equipped with. This is our sword. But how are we going to discern between all those voices if we don't know the voice of our Savior? And how are we going to know his voice if we're not listening to him in his word? So these are the good names. Boy, that's much better than precious ointment. I tell you what, child of God is the best name you could have. Follower of Jesus Christ, disciple of Jesus Christ, Christian, those are the best names that you can have. And then those, if you have those, as I said before, will trickle down and give you a good, you will have a good name in your business, in your school, in your home, in your community, in your church, because you will line everything up with God's word and you will act accordingly. And so by having that good name, you end up with all of those other, with a good name in every facet of your life. Turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. We want to remember that we only get this good name by following Jesus Christ. And we have to keep that in mind, how we got that good name, so that we don't end up thinking we did something and thinking that it's because of us that we have that good name. Man likes to boast in his accomplishments. I heard three preachers preach one time, and only one of them preached, and two of them just gave their resume. Three men preached in one service, and one of them got up and preached the Word of God, and it was so good. Simple little country preacher. And the other two basically got off and rattled off what they thought were their accomplishments, and listed the names of all of the, what they would consider the elite preachers that they had known through the years and everything, and boasted in themselves and didn't preach at all. Just boasted in themselves. And one man got up and preached. Church, you've got to keep in mind that if you have a good name because you follow Jesus Christ, it's only because you are following Jesus Christ. You didn't give yourself that good name. You got that good name by being obedient to God's word. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We have to realize if we follow Christ and we have a good name because we have followed Christ, we have to realize it's because I follow Christ. And not let ourselves become haughty and think more of ourselves than what we ought to. And that's a danger sometimes that people fall into. A man will do a work for God and everything will be fine until he disobeys this verse and starts thinking that maybe he had a part in it. And then the next thing you know, it's a man-centered ministry and Christ is nowhere to be found in that ministry. So there's a warning. As we strive for this good name, we need to remember we get that good name because of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we earn that good name is by being obedient to what he tells us to do. Now, what about churches? We've talked about individually. What about churches? Is it important for the church to have a good name? Absolutely. Absolutely, the church needs to have a good name. People might not know. People in this community might not be able to name a single one of us. They might only know my name because it's on the sign. And they might not even know that because they might not even take the time to look at the sign. They might just know that church, Faith Baptist Church, it says it real big on the west side of the building there. They might not be able to name a single one of us. But that doesn't mean they don't know anything about this church. Some of them know, oh, that church goes out on Saturdays and invites people to come to their church. They give out these little pieces of paper that have scripture on the back of them. Some of them know, don't go down there to get your bills paid for if you don't go to church there, because they don't do that. Some of them know, you know what? I don't know their name, but I met somebody from that church down at such and such place, and I remember they were real sweet and real nice and invited. People know things about the church. They might not be able to name any one of us, but they know. You can't be a church and not have a reputation. So our names as individuals matter, and our name as a church matters. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, I want to look at two passages and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you're familiar with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And as we said this morning, sometimes we do things that damage our name. Well, that just means we have some work to do. Of obedience to the Word of God to repair that. Let God fix that for us. But it doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Look, if you did something that put a black mark on your name and there was nothing you could do about it, there would be absolutely no reason for me to preach this sermon tonight. All of us would just be stuck, wouldn't we? Because we all have at least one black mark. And maybe some of us have got a whole black board. Maybe some of us it looks like black paint has been dumped on our name because we all have different past. We all have different things that we've done. And there are people that remember that. But that doesn't mean it can't be repaired. Through faithful obedience to the Word of God, we can have that good name. We can have that good name. And there are some consequences that follow us the rest of our life, and some people from your past are never going to forget certain things. But as I said this morning, you don't have to keep adding to the list, and through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can repair that name. He can repair that name. It's not impossible. It's not impossible at all. Or everyone who read Ecclesiastes 7:1 would say, well, messed that up. Yeah, you messed it up the day you were born because we're all born sinners. But what about the church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read about a church that had a bad report. It is reported commonly. That means this is what people knew about the Corinthian church, that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He said there's stuff going on in the church that you don't even hear the lost people doing, that one should have his father's wife. This was a man that was in a relationship with his stepmother. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So a church can absolutely have a bad report, and people can know something bad. And I'll tell you what, when something happens in a church, it spreads like wildfire. Because as I've already said, the lost, the world, they're just waiting for somebody to mess up. They're just waiting for somebody to do something like this, or to run off with somebody's spouse, or to run off with the money, or buy a private jet and take off to the other side. They're just waiting. They're just waiting. It spreads like wildfire. Doesn't it feel like it's hard sometimes to get the gospel out there, and hard for people to, you give the gospel and you think, man, why aren't people responding? Why aren't people responding? But let somebody fall in the church and it'll spread like crazy, because that's what they want. That's what they're looking for. Okay, but we can't walk out of here with that. We got to walk out of here with some hope. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I stalled for a minute. You ever have one of those moments where your brain just pauses? It's like everything just, and then all of a sudden you're back in the land of the living. I'm looking at Colossians, not even thinking anything. I just stalled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and find verse 2, and we'll read the rest of this chapter and then we'll close. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. Oh, here comes their name. Here's what this church was known for: your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. He's saying, hey, here's what we know about you. Here's what your report is, church at Thessalonica. Your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. And you are an example to the people that you walk among every day. And it says in verse 8, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You are known for proclaiming the precious gospel of Jesus Christ to those around you. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Everywhere they went, they didn't have to tell people about this church. They already knew. Oh yeah, we know about that church down there. We know about them. They're always out here preaching. They're always out here loving people. And boy, that's just what they're all about. They didn't have to inform anybody. They already knew. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is the chapter that gives us an example of the model church. That's what a church is supposed to be right there. That's what our name is supposed to be. We've looked at what our name should be as individuals, and then here's what our name should be as a church. This is what people ought to know about God's church. And today there are people who will point to a church, and they know that that church has a certain type of music. That church has this kind of activity. That church has that kind of thing going on. That church is known for this and known for that. And what the Bible tells us the world needs to know about your church is they preach the gospel. They follow Jesus Christ. They are an example. That's what we're told. The people outside of this church are supposed to know about us. How are we doing? How are we doing? So in looking at a good name, what good is material wealth? What good is having that precious ointment? If the world knows you as a thief, a liar, shiftless, lazy, scoundrel, no good, what good is it? What good is having all of that stuff if you have a rotten name? But, however, who cares about the riches of this world if you have a good name? I'll say it like this. A good conscience will make a softer pillow than a brick of gold every night of the week. A good conscience will make a softer pillow than a brick of gold every night of the week. Church, let's give some prayer and some thought individually to what's my name? What's my report? What do I need to, if I don't like the answer, then I need to let God help me change it. And then the church, what am I doing to make sure that Faith Baptist Church is known for the things it ought to be known for? What is the part that I'm playing in that? And as God reveals those things to us through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, let's not ignore it. Let's say by His grace and His mercy, I'll be obedient. And let Him help me have the name that I need to have. And let Him help me contribute to the church having the name that it ought to have. Because we've all got a name and we've all got a report. It ought to be the proper one. I think this evening we will, I will pray, and then we'll just be dismissed this evening. But let's take that with us this week. Give some prayer and thought to that, even right now as we pray. Just let the Lord work. But I will just pray and dismiss us this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You for Your reminder. And God, I just pray that each one of us in here, that You would help us to meditate upon these things and ask these questions. What is my name? What is my report? Am I being a sheep, a disciple, a follower of You? Am I contributing to the church, having a good name in the community? And help us remember that all of this is important because people need to be saved, and we are the ones that You have given the responsibility to take the gospel to them so that they would be saved. And we need to be the right kind of representation and have the right kind of name, and help us to realize that that's far greater than anything this world could ever offer to us. Just like the hymn that we sing, I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. Lord, help us to understand that truth, that it's far better to have a good name than it is to have the riches of this world. And help us to respond accordingly whenever the Holy Spirit deals with us in areas of our life. Be with us this week. Strengthen us. Help us to be a representation and take the gospel out. Protect us. Protect this church. And help us to just love each other and care about each other and pray for each other this week. And come back again and hear more of what You have to teach us. We leave everything in Your hands, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.